I want to start this episode with a customer experience fun fact. Like many of you, I am a huge fan of the skip intro button of Netflix. I mean, every time you push it, you're like, yes, I saved 30 seconds. And then you give 2 hours back to Netflix. That's usually how it goes. But I dived into the stats, and it's amazing to see that like 136 million times a day, someone is pushing that skip intro button. And if you add all that together, it means that Netflix, with their skip intro button, they saved out more than 195 million hours of their customers' time. And we all know that time is a scarce resource, but this is a very tangible example of how you can make a difference with small things that save out time of your customers. So welcome everyone in this new episode, this third episode of my monthly CX update video. Thanks for watching, and I really hope you're gonna enjoy this show. Welcome in this new episode. The first concept that I would like to introduce in this monthly video is what I call in-between touchpoints. In the last few years, most of you have been really, really focused on optimizing their touchpoints, making sure that every time a customer interacts with one of those touchpoints, it is a good experience. We've been focusing on customer journeys, which is really, really good. But I think if we really want to go beyond a basic customer relationship, a basic customer experience, we need to think beyond those touch points. Let's look at a hotel, for instance. In a hotel, it's very clear what some of the most important touch points are. It's when you check in, you want things to be fluent, you want things to be friendly, you want to have that room key as soon as possible. Making up the room is another important touch point where people have a certain expectation about. So you can manage that, you can create a process for that. But if you really want to be customer first without compromise, I'm convinced that the difference can be made in between touch points. And let me explain by an example from the hotel industry. Let's take a look at the iconic hotel in Dubai, Atlantis The Palm. It is a beautiful hotel at a fantastic location. It's a resort by itself. It's a beautiful hotel. They have many restaurants. They have this huge water park. And I was there last Christmas. And I was there with my family, with our two boys, and there was another family. They also had two boys, but those parents didn't like to spend time in a water park. So I was there with all four boys, which is fun because I really like that. But after a while, the four boys are hungry, so we get some food. And then you know how it goes, right? They finish their food or they leave some of the food, and then they go out and play again, whereas I am there with all the garbage that they leave behind. So I go to these garbage bins. And when I'm approaching them with my leftover, I can see that the garbage bin will not be good enough to, or it will not fit with all the things that I'm carrying. And I don't know where that person came from, but out of the blue, there was this person who showed up. He removed everything from my hands. He said, "Let me take care of this, sir. You go play with those four boys and I'll take care of things." And this sounds like something very small, but this is for me an example of acting in between touch points. It's not like with a check-in. I mean, with a check-in, you know that people will come and you're ready for that. That situation with that hamburger and this garbage bin, that is a situation where the employees understand what is going on in the mind of the customer and they act accordingly to that. And that is amazing. And I had the opportunity to speak with the general manager of Atlantis The Palm. He's also a Belgian guy. His name is Tom Roelens. My last podcast is with him. I will put the link in the comments here if you want to listen to it. But this is a company that really succeeds in making a difference in between touch points. It's not just at these predefined moments that they make a difference. It's in between the predefined moments. And that is a certain culture that you have in your organization. But as a customer, you really feel that the employees are like monitoring what's going on and they know when to help you. They know when to act, even if it's not a predefined process. And I'm a huge fan of organizations that manage to create an experience in between the touch points. What we're starting to see in customer experience is that the influence zone of a brand or an organization is increasing. If you look to the past decades, most organizations were focused on their own company. Some were looking at their industry, and it was only a minority that actually spent time acting upon issues and challenges that the world was facing. So traditionally, people were really focused to act within the influence sphere of their own company. They tried to influence their own industry, and they were monitoring what was happening on more a macro kind of level. Today, you see that this is completely changing, especially with the events of the past few weeks. But you see that today's influence zone is going up much higher. Today, you see that organizations act on all of these levels. They are not just monitoring what's happening in the world. They are an active party in what's happening in the world. And this is, I think, a very interesting and strong evolution, that brands want to have that voice in the world. They want to have an opinion. They want to act upon it. And some make really bold choices in that journey. And this is something that is more and more on the table on boardrooms, but it's more and more linked to the customer experience as well. More and more customers expect organizations to become part of the solution and find their untapped potential to have an influence on every part of society, and not just having an influence and an active behavior on their own company, not even in their own industry, but also act upon what's happening in the world. So the influence zone of organizations is increasing rapidly, and it's valued more than ever by the customer. The hype of the moment is, of course, the whole Web3 evolution. Everyone's talking about it. Investors are going crazy in this space. What I would like to do in this video here is not talk about the technology behind it. I would like to talk about what the customer benefits are in this whole Web3 space. And I see three clear benefits for customers. It's going to be about more privacy and data control. It's going to be about shared financial interests. And it's going to be about enhanced experiences. But let's start with the first one. Let's talk about data. Today, truth is that our data is owned by large organizations. But this will change, of course. That perspective will completely be turned upside down. And this is going to be an interesting evolution. Today, if we're honest, when it's about customer data and the value that customers get out of data, most of the time the value that an organization gets from our data is higher than what we get from our data. Facebook has more value from our data than we have from Facebook. What if we arrive in a world where data ownership goes back to the customer, where it belongs, where you have blockchain technology that helps you to identify yourself without sharing all the information that is lying behind that? There are already initiatives taking place there. You have Solid, which is an initiative created by MIT and by the man who created the World Wide Web, where they will create data pots where you can put your data in, and then you can decide, oh, this part of my data, I'm happy to share this with company A, but this is something that they cannot see. And your identity will be trustworthy because of the blockchain system behind it, which means that we could arrive in a world in the next decade where customers have a very easy interface to decide which data to share and which data to keep private. And this can be different for any kind of organization. And then, of course, the question is, how do you deal with that as a company? Well, the only thing you can do is to make sure that customers see the value in what you do with their data so that they're happy to share it with you. This is going to be about earning and re-earning trust over and over again. But in the next 10 years, we're going to see this switch where data ownership comes back to the customer, which creates a tremendous value for every customer out there. That's one thing. The second thing is shared financial benefits. Today, we're in a world where digital assets are sold for a massive amount of money. It's a world of collectibles. I am more interested in what the role of, for instance, NFTs can be in fan engagement and customer engagement. How can this change customer loyalty, for instance? And the fact that with this whole NFT thing or the whole Web3 thing, that we have the possibility to create a shared interest for the customer, I believe this could create new models of customer loyalty. And it could also create entire new business models, direct-to-consumer models. Let me give you an example. Imagine that you are a very talented singer-songwriter, and you hope to get a record deal. But, you know, record deals are scarce these days, so you don't succeed. So you don't get your dream deal. But let's assume that you have a high following on TikTok or YouTube. Why don't you create then your first album in the form of an NFT, where the owner of the NFT, your followers on TikTok, can get access to the music, of course, but also get access to part of the revenues? And this is a completely new business model. Like in the old world, a talented singer-songwriter would get a record deal and 90% of the value goes to the record company and 10% goes to the creative talent, the singer-songwriter. In this new world, you launch an NFT and 90% is for the singer-songwriter, 10% included in a smart contract goes to the early fans, which means that the early fans are not just fans anymore. They have a shared interest. If that singer-songwriter becomes extremely popular, the value of their NFTs will go up. The value of the revenues that they get thanks to the smart contract will go up. So imagine that you would be one of the first investors in the young Ed Sheeran and 10% of his overall revenues are spread out between the early fans. I mean, then you're not just a fan. Then you become an active ambassador. You have skin in the game at that moment. And this philosophy can work in a world of scarcity. You cannot offer this to every client. It's a world with smart contracts where there's a shared financial value and where you already have a fan community. And if you have those three together, with the possibilities of Web3, you can create new models of customer loyalty that are based on that idea of shared interest. If the company wins, the customer wins, and of course, vice versa. That's benefit number two. Benefit number three is more related to the whole evolution of Meta, of course, where we're moving into a new phase of content, where we're moving from text to photo, video, this is where we are, to a more three-dimensional world. And you can already see this in these virtual worlds. So take the look at the popularity of Roblox. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of the statistics of Roblox, but they're quite mind-blowing. They got about 200 monthly active users, 50 million a day, and the large majority are younger than 25. So these kind of platforms are the platforms to reach out to younger audiences, and they spend about 2.6 hours a day on this platform. And it's interesting to see how the metaverse will evolve, how much more broadly accepted and adopted will these virtual worlds become. We don't know. I was in LA with one of our Nextworks inspiration tours about 2 weeks ago, and we talked to a lot of startups and scale-ups in this space, and it was really clear that all those small companies, they see like Meta as the big enemy. I had like this David against Goliath feeling that they were like, yeah, Mark Zuckerberg is doing all this, but we wanna win, we have a better strategy. And I had a very strange feeling about this. I'm not sure if they will win. I mean, if you look at the assets of Meta, previously known as Facebook, I mean, these guys have a market access across their platforms of about 3.5 billion people that they can reach out to. They are investing $10 billion. They have 10,000 people on this, and they have around the world about a 100% brand awareness. So it's not that easy for smaller organizations to win from this huge party that has so many resources that are crucial to win in this space. And I think one of the big benefits or contributions of Facebook, of course, is that they completely rebranded this whole space of virtual and augmented reality into the metaverse. And this will create an enormous amount of money that will go into it. This will boost these virtual worlds. This will boost the adoption of virtual reality and augmented reality. And at the end of the day, this will be beneficial for the customer because we will have access to more enhanced experiences. In the past 10 years, it was just about convenience. Today it's going to be, and tomorrow it's going to be about convenience plus entertainment. And these enhanced experiences are benefit number three of the whole Web3 evolution. So this was episode 3 of my monthly CX update. I hope you enjoyed it. Please share the video with others, like the video, give me a comment on what I can do better, subscribe to the channel, and I hope to see you again in the next episode at the end of April. Thanks for watching, everyone, and take care. Bye-bye.